If you turn with me in your Bibles, thank you, praise team, to Job chapter 14. And we're going to read three portions of scripture there and then go to Psalm 138 and 7. And I want to say a great big thank you to each of you that have helped us with the envelope offering. I want to say it was over 100%, right around 158%, or 150, let's just say 150 to be safe, percent of came in. So to God be the glory for that. Thank you for your faithfulness. But Job 14 and 7 says, "For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease." Notice this, "though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant." And I'm going to read Psalm 138 and 7. If you're taking notes, this is a scripture you probably want to highlight, circle, screenshot in your Bible. But Psalm 138 and 7 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me." "Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand, the right hand of power, strength, and authority, shall save me." Though I walk in the midst of trouble, that will revive me. I want to talk to you this evening on this thought, the hope of being revived. The hope of being revived. Would you lift your voices to the Lord and let us pray. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the praise team, God, the worship leader, God. We thank you for your presence, God, with the musicians, God. But we pray today that you would help us to be doers and hearers the same of your word, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen. God bless you as you're seated. Revive is to nourish, to restore, to preserve, to save. A tree or a plant that is cut down, it doesn't necessarily mean it's the end of that plant or that tree. Pruning is not a bad thing. When something's pruned, it's not necessarily a bad thing. There are seasons in all of our lives that have tested us. We're living that right now. And there's seasons in all of our lives that have pushed us to our limits and have stretched us and have tried us. There are seasons in our lives that have proven us. There are things that all of us have gone through and are going through right now over the last 6 months. We're at 10, and from 10 days from now, we'll be in 6 months into this. And it's hard to believe, but it has proven some things in us. Folks that didn't have a relationship with the Lord have suddenly, and thank the Lord for that, have found a relationship with the Lord. And then there are some that they weren't as strong with their relationship with God as they acted or they insinuated. And this has proven that. And these situations that we go through were not meant or are not meant to destroy us. In fact, it's in Genesis 50 that we learn and we understand the life of Joseph when it all came to the end. Joseph began to sum it all up and says, what I'm going to paraphrase and use Pastor Panero's rendition, what you, friends and family, what life and circumstance and the haters meant for evil, God meant it for good. God used that to form me, to make me, to equip me, to stretch me, and to make me the vessel that He needed me to be. Sure, we may at times be frustrated, embarrassed, or discouraged, even fail in the eyes of some. Key word, you may be a failure in the eyes of some, but the devil is a liar. You may be afraid, and fear is an emotion. It's one of the first emotions we read of in the scripture. It was Adam that said, "I was afraid." He was afraid. That's what Adam said. And so, discouragement can be a byproduct of failure. Even though we experience disappointment, it is not God's will for us to remain in this state. The Word of God makes it extremely clear that we will have troubles. In fact, it tells us in John 16 and 33, the Scripture says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." But notice this, "In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Tribulation is pressure. Tribulation is anguish. Tribulation is trouble or affliction. There's something that Jesus tells us we will experience. Sometimes it's the pressure, or what the Scripture tells us, the cares of life. Being an adult. All the adults say amen. Adulting is not easy. I'm not talking about adultery. You shouldn't be committing adultery. But adulting, being an adult and being a productive adult in society and being a Christian that is acting as an adult and pulling your own weight, it's not easy. Well, sometimes it's the pressures of relationships, good relationships and bad relationships. Perhaps it's the troubles that you did not invite, but they arise. They kind of party poopers, right? Just kind of trouble comes in. Who invited trouble? Sometimes it's the pressure of hopeless situations, like the afflictions. The afflictions of mental distress, emotional roller coasters, and spiritual fatigue. Psalmist tells us in Psalm 34 and 19, quote this, we are not to be ignorant of the tricks, the methods, the lies of the enemy. We've got Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. The Scripture says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Notice this. I want to focus in on that key word, ignorant. It means, you see a common word there, ignore. We should not ignore his methods. I think sometimes we look at that and we're like, whatever. But let's not ignore the methods of the adversary. Let's not be ill-informed. You may not have a total revelation, but you can understand some things, that once a liar, always a liar. That's who the devil is. He is a liar. Somebody say amen. This means that we have to be alert. We have to be sober. We have to be sober spiritually and physically. We need to be vigilant spiritually. This means that we are intentional with our spiritual foresight, and we don't become fooled by people, places, or things, or antichrist mindsets, or people in the church or out of the church that suddenly have a new revelation. There is no new revelation. The Scripture has one revelation, and it's the last book of the Bible. That's the only revelation you need to be concerned with that is associated with revelation. Everything else is got to align with the Word of God. There's nothing new under the sun. We're going through all kinds of things right now, and we've endured it, and there's going to be more to come. But can I tell you, saints of God, this book is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light into our path. It's been proven. It's been tested. It has gone through everything that we've gone through and then some. Saints of God, let us not be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. If it is contrary to the Word of God, you don't need to validate and say, "Well, I want to give it a try." If it's contrary to the Word of God, no need to fact check it and just say, it's contrary. I've done due diligence. It's not there. Let God be true and every man a liar. But the Scripture says in 1 Peter 5 and 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Whom? Resist steadfast in the faith. That means you're going to have to faithfully resist him with your walk with God, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The cares of this life, the stress of this life, the uncertainty of this life. Notice this. The relentless bombardment of sin will always be lurking around waiting to tempt you and myself. Always. The healthy spiritual fruit you have produced or are producing or have the potential to produce will be a result of your faithfulness, whether you're under pressure or not. You may feel chopped down spiritually. It may look like you've been chopped down spiritually. But remember our opening scripture setting, Job 14 and 7. For there is hope of a tree, if it is cut down, that it will spring or sprout again. Listen, your reason for existence is not for things or positions or events. That is not your reason or your purpose in life. Your purpose in life is to know Him and to make Him known. That is our purpose in life. The first point I want to make tonight, I got 2 points, but the first point is things are not always as they seem. Things are not always as they seem. Things are not as bad as they look, but neither are they as good as they look. Just think about that. The surface is just that. It's the surface. The root system and the foundation is underneath. In fact, where the roots of a tree or a plant is at, it's dark under there. It's cold. It's unseen. The root system of a tree is not appreciated. When was the last time you walked by a plant and said, "Oh, pull it out of the ground. Let me see the roots. Oh, wow." You walk by the flowers, you're like, "Oh, wow, beautiful flowers." Or, "Wow, that's nice fruit. My goodness." But it's the health and the strength of the root system. And some of us are the Lord is ensuring during this time that our root system is as strong as we talk about it needing to be or we desire it to be. And so He is shaking some things in us and in the church, and He's shaking some things in our family to ensure that our root system is strong. Because if we think that this is rough and bad, wait till true persecution, wait till there's a real earthquake instead of us reading about a hurricane hitting somewhere else. Wait until there's a real rumbling and a shaking. Wait until the trumpet sounds and you're not caught up. That's something to really be stressed out about. Our purpose is to produce healthy spiritual fruit. I'll tell you the kind of fruit we need to be producing. Galatians 5:22 tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. It begins with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Notice this, meekness, not weakness, but meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This is what we should be producing. It's not going to be easy. It will take work. In fact, it will take a lifetime. Listen. Things are not always as they seem. Do not retreat. Do not back up or even slow down because there's been a change in pace in where and how we worship. Just worship wherever you're able to worship at. Pray wherever you can find a time to pray. Embrace the season that God has paid for us. Let's look at a situation of Mary and Martha. Let's look in the scripture in John chapter 11. Notice this. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Remember, things are not always as they seem. We're going to keep going. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Jesus loved him. Jesus heard that. He said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Notice this. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But look what he does. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 more days where he was at. Things are not always as they seem. I'm talking about the hope of being revived tonight. Jesus loved this family, and he loves your family too. Jesus was aware of this situation. It was brought to Jesus' attention. He acknowledges that Lazarus is sick. But Jesus knew that Lazarus was not sick unto death, but Lazarus had a need. And notice what John tells us in John 11 and 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. And later on, Jesus says, these things saith he, and after that he saith unto him, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now, you would think that would be an encouragement and reassurance to Mary and Martha. But we find out later that Jesus died, we know that Jesus died, but he rose again. Amen. But Lazarus died. In fact, Jesus even utters it in John 11 and 14. He said, Jesus says unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And in the preceding verse, in John 11:11, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. So things are not always as they seem. And Jesus makes his way. I'm going to use a different mic if somebody can get me the minister's mic. Jesus is lingering where he is at, and he is having an opportunity to ensure that things aren't always as they seem. And let's not think for a moment that the Lord has abandoned us. Let's not think for a moment that the Lord has forgotten you or your circumstance or what you're facing. He is very much aware about what you are facing. Somebody say amen. Jesus is very much in control of what is taking place in our world. And in fact, the scripture tells us in Psalm 138 and 7, it says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, that thou wilt revive me. And so tonight, it may be that you are walking in trouble, or you're in trouble. All the Zoom University students were in trouble because Zoom wasn't working, and they were probably happy and went back to bed. But God hasn't forgotten you. And tonight you may be in uncertainty with your life. And let's just be honest tonight. This is perilous times and stressful situations, and things look hard, but they're not always as they seem. Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 32 and 27, he writes, the Lord says, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? It may look and feel out of touch, out of reach. It may be impossible with man, but it's never the case with God. Mark 10 and 27 says, notice this, and Jesus looking upon them saith, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For with God some things, all things are possible. Jesus said that Lazarus was asleep, and his sickness was not unto death, and that this situation was going to be for the glory of the Lord. But remember something, things are not always as they look. Not everyone hears and listens, and not everyone that listens hears. But notice this. In John 11 and 19, the scripture says, "And many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother." Where Jesus was, let's just put this in perspective. Jesus was only 2 miles away. That's where Bethany was to Jerusalem was only about 2 miles away. But Jesus stayed where he was at for two more days. And things aren't always as they seem. Jesus, as we knew, was very much aware that Lazarus was dead. And Lazarus, when we get to this point, he's already dead for 4 days. And John 11 and 38 says, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning within himself. And he comes to the grave. He finally gets there with his entourage, with some of the disciples. Thomas, is one of them. And they tell him, as he gets to the grave, don't move away the stone, Jesus, because he had said, move the stone and take away the stone. And it was Martha. Martha, remember, is the one that it was encumbered about at another time and place. But Martha, in John 11 and 39 and 38, Martha says, don't move the stone. He's been there and it stinketh because he's been there for 4 days. And Jesus says, take the stone away. Because things are not always as they seem. And Jesus says unto her in John 11 and 40, didn't I say unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? It's almost as if he's saying, hey, chica, it's going to be all right. Lazarus is just taking a nap. He will be revived, girl. Cool it. Go drink another horchata. It's going to be okay. John 11 and 43, notice this. And when he, Jesus, has spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, 3 words, Lazarus, come forth. Notice that scripture tells us, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. He was dead, and he came forth. Because things weren't as they seemed. Because of the power of the spoken word. There's something about the spoken word. The spoken word of God. The spoken word of the people of God. The spoken word of the man of God. And the spoken word of God himself. There is hope in being revived if we begin to declare the spoken, the declared, the prayed, the written, the heard word of God. Saints, let me tell you here this evening, there are going to be more days to come that you're going to feel that there is no hope, and it may look like there's no hope, but you got to remember there is a hope in the Lord. There always has been, there always will be, and you can be revived because the Lord has the final say. Lazarus was asleep, but there was just 3 words that were spoken. He that was dead was resurrected. The second point I want to make tonight is the Lord has the final say. Psalmist tells us again, I want to read it again. It's a powerful Bible verse. Psalm 138 and 7. Powerful. Though I walk in the midst of trouble. Notice that. Psalm 138 and 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou will revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of my enemies. Be encouraged tonight that the Lord has the final say. Not the boss, not the financial analyst or the governor, not the people, not the scientist, neither the corporate office. They don't have the final say. In fact, we don't even have the final say. Even on that day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, which is going to be an epic moment, by the way. But we don't even have the final say. He has the final say. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Saints of God, there is still hope today to be revived. And there will be hope to be revived no matter what we face, where we're going, because the Lord has the final say. So surrender the grief, surrender the loss or the pain, the frustration, surrender the embarrassment, the stubbornness, surrender the stubbornness, the cares, surrender the burdens, surrender the business decisions, and just give it all to the Lord. ¿Cómo se dice all? Todo, ¿eh? Give it all to the Lord. 1 Peter 5 and 7. Casting all your care upon your neighbor. Right? Casting all your care on your professor. And I know it doesn't say the pastor, that's for sure. Thank the Lord. But casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Have you ever told somebody something? They're like, what are you telling me for? I don't care. Well, that's true, right? Why are you talking to me about this? You're wasting air I might have to use someday, right? But the scripture says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He's got the final say. Listen. There isn't anything going on in your life right now, past, present, or future, that the Lord's not aware of. I know somebody just woke up, right? They're dozing off and they're reclining and they're like, oh man, the Lord knows, right? Yeah, there isn't anything past, present, or future that you're going through, will go through, or have gone through, that the Lord is not aware of. That ought to be hope for you. Is because we serve a God of all hope. It may not be a big deal to your friends, right? It may not be a big deal to your family, but if it's important to you, it's important to him. Your tree stump in life may be all that's left. Just a tree stump. Your tree stump maybe at one time had good spiritual fruit. And because of sin or poor decisions, hard-headedness, stubbornness, temptation, you gave in, you were deceived, whatever the situation is. But that's enough for the Lord to work with again. There's hope to be revived again. As long as there's breath, there's hope. And I would even go further to say, we've got a typology with Lazarus, as even if there's no breath, there's still hope. Cause God is able to breathe into man. In Genesis 2 and 7 tells us that God breathed in the man and man became a living soul. Saints of God, it's time for some of us to allow the breath of the Holy Ghost to begin to revive us again and to allow us to be able to walk and say, you know what? The Lord has the final say. I know I may have messed some things up, but God is for me and he's with me and I'm still his child and I'm going to get back up and I'm going to finish this year better than I entered into this year. And it may not be that way for everybody, but I have made a covenant unto the Lord that I'm going to do my very best. And even the scripture tells us that even if you are in the midst of trouble, he'll revive you, take care of you. You may be spiritually gasping for air. People, places, and things may have let you down. But there's a hope of being revived this evening. Have faith again, not just in God, but in yourself. That you can be revived spiritually. It's time for some of you to begin again. To begin walking down that anointing as the musicians come that you used to walk down. Psalm 85 and 6 tells us, Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? It's time for some of you to rejoice again. Scripture tells us he's turned your mourning into dancing. It's time for some to repent and to reset. To get back to the factory settings with your relationship with the Lord. Because he's got the final say. It's time for us to start believing that if he's done it before, he can do it again. If you were anointed once, why couldn't you be anointed again? Why could you not see the hand of God be used in your ministry again? It's to revive the prayer life again. See if there's the cue for some of you waiting for pastor. He said, he can't go preach without saying prayer. But it's worshiping instead of worrying. It's living holy all the time, dressing holy, talking holy. It's the hope of that being revived again in your walk with God. To let your anointing be released again. That we can understand Lazarus was dead. The tree stump may just be a tree stump, but at the scent of water, that just the stirring of the Spirit again, the reviving with your walk with God, the midweek fill up, the not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of my mind. It's getting your mind revived. Lazarus was dead. He was already in the grave. But that didn't stop Jesus. And that shouldn't stop you tonight either. As we stand, the Lord has the final say. For there is hope of a tree cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Notice this. Job 14 and 8. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk therefore die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. The truth is, Satan never wins. And God has always had the last word. There's still time and hope to be revived. Do you understand in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9? The Bible tells us that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of men, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. You may not have much to work with, but what you have is enough. All Moses had was a rod and a staff, but it was enough. All David had was a slingshot and some rocks, but it was enough. All the little boy had was a sack lunch, but in the hands of Jesus, it was enough. Almost 6 months ago, we were all wondering what's going to happen. And here we are, alive, breathing, clothes still fit, worshiping God. Come on, somebody. The hope of being revived. Be convicted. Be challenged. Be stirred. Be blessed today. Don't be condemned. Don't be discouraged, but begin to rise up and say, I'm going to start growing again. I'm going to start making sure that I am spiritually as close to God during the last 6 months or the last part of this year than I started out or that I attempted to do. I'm going to make sure that during the next couple months, we're in the month of August, almost September, that I'm going to finish strong. Because it's not how I start, it's how I finish. And you may have stumbled, you may have failed. You may have put your ministry on hold. You may have made some poor decisions. But oh, I went to God this evening that the hope of being revived will begin to stir in you and all across the home, all across the Santa Maria Valley. Would you begin to lift your hands up to the Lord right now? Hallelujah! Begin to talk to Jesus.